Today is Saturday, the 25th of November 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 109th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Bante Homagama Dhammakusala Theru joining us into today's session, representing Nisaranavane Forest Monastery. So our program will commence with the in-session practice guided by Bante, and then we will move on to the question and on to the talk on mindfulness, and then we will wrap up the program after the question and answer session. So on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome Bante with great respect to today's program, and I would also like to welcome all of you to today's program through Zoom and also through the live stream. Without further ado, I would like to invite Bante to commence in session practice. Over to Bante. Much merits.
Thanks, Samantha. Hello, everyone. Today, I thought of guiding you through a sitting session. For this, you have to make sure that you are seated comfortably. Once you are comfortable in your posture, you can gently close your eyes. Now you are seated comfortably and you have your eyes closed. Be present and notice what you feel in the present moment. You may hear surrounding sounds, various people talking, working, nature sounds, vehicle noises. A variety of sounds are there. If you bring your attention to the body, you may feel various bodily sensations. Some of you may feel a natural breath in your body. The body breathes. Breath goes in, comes out after a while. Again, it goes in, comes out. Time to time you may get thoughts, various memories, planning. You may feel pain, irritations in your body. And of course, it's natural to feel sleepy. We are not going to suppress any of these things. Instead, let them be while you being aware that you are seated. While you being aware that you are breathing. The breath goes in, comes out after a while. As a group, let's try to continue this practice for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. So that's about 10 minutes of mindful sitting, just to give you an idea, so you can practice on your own. What we recommend is that daily practice every day, try to reserve some time, maybe 20, 30, 40 minutes you can reserve based on your ability, and do a daily practice. Continue the practice this way. And then we can discuss further how to advance in your practice. Okay, with that, Namanta, I think you can take over.
Thank you, Bante, and much better to Bante. Next, we have the talk on mindfulness coming up as a continuation with the second chapter continuing from last week's talk, which was based on fearlessness in observing self. So I would like to invite Venerable Bante again on behalf of all of us in the program to continue the second talk on the topic fearless in observing self. Over to Bante again. Much benefits.
Thanks, Namanta. Okay, everyone, let's take some time to discuss the today's topic. It's a continuation from last week. We'll see what other information we can gather today based on today's topic. Now, in order to start today's discussion, let me share one of the experiences. No, it's not a meditation experience, but actually it's something that happened to a person. He was swimming in ocean, and due to some ocean current, some jellyfish, right? So due to this current, he swim himself into a bunch of jellyfish, right? So got into their poison, and his entire skin, he was injected with the poison of these jellyfish, right? So somehow he got to the seashore and was suffering extremely due to the poisonous injections of these creatures. So he was in extreme pain, and in this situation, if he got angry about the situation, he might die in few minutes because of that anger. If he get fearful in that situation, he might die within few minutes because of that fear. So in this extreme difficulty, in this extreme situation, what he did was acceptance of this situation. He accepted this pain that was in his body. He accepted this difficulty that he was facing without fear, without anger. He did accept his current circumstances, and that saved his life, although he was suffering for maybe like 30, 40 minutes. That very acceptance helped him to survive in that extreme situation, in that difficult situation. So you can see that type of a situation, that type of experience is not far for us as well. Maybe not the same creature, maybe not the same poison, but some other difficulty might come. Maybe a sickness in your body. Maybe some difficulty due to an accident, right? So these things are common. These things are not foreign. So when you are facing such situations, what we do is we add on to them. There could be physical pain. You might be suffering extreme pain. But what happens is that we add on to this pain. Maybe as fear, maybe as anger, we add on to it, right? So a bodily component is there, let's call it the pain, and a mental component is there, let's call it the suffering. So whatever the pain that that body undergoes, you can endure. But what happens is that There's suffering added on to this pain. You get angry, you get fearful. This anger, fear represents suffering part, right? So Buddha's analogy of poisonous arrows. You get hit with one arrow. Of course, that is painful. You are in extreme pain, you are suffering. Then he asks, what happens if another arrow comes and hit on the same wound? What happens if a third arrow comes and hit on the same wound? What happens if a fourth arrow comes and hit on the same wound? So the first arrow, of course, you can't avoid. That's the bodily component. That's the pain. But this second, third, fourth arrow, they are the mental components. We call them suffering. So what happens is that mainly we suffer in our mind. Fear is a side effect of this suffering. Anger is a side effect of this suffering. So rather than in reality, we suffer in imagination. That's what happens, right? There could be some difficulty in your body. In reality, there could be some difficulty, but much more things are added in the imagination. That's why most people can't bear their current circumstances. It's not the bodily pain. Of course, they might have some illness. Of course, they might face an accident. Physical pain could be there, but what you can't handle is the suffering part, the mental component, right? So when we are practicing, when we try to be fearless, observing self, this mental component you have to deal with. That's extremely important. If you are not up to facing this mental component, then your practice might not grow. That's why majority of the people, they think meditation as some form of high. They consider it to be some kind of a drug. With this drug, if they consume, if they take it, then they could be in some kind of a foreign blissful situation for some time. Maybe 1 or 2 hours, he'll be in some foreign blissful situation. This is what most people consider as meditation. But the true practice includes being fearless, observing this mental component, observing this suffering part. That's the true meditation. That's what matters. Otherwise, you won't grow in your practice. Your mind won't strengthen. Right? So this mental component is really important. That is a valuable part of the practice, right? So when we are learning, when we are developing the ability to observe this mental component, then of course we are not adding on to it. That's the ability we are developing. We try to develop our ability just to be the observer, just to be the witness. That ability, gradually you have to improve, gradually you have to develop. If you have that ability, of course, then you won't be adding on to this physical pain. You won't be adding on to this current situation, right? So imagination, this suffering, that part you'll be reducing much more when you advance in your practice. Right, so that's what important. Now let's say a beginner, when they start their practice, we recommend writing meditation experiences. We tell them to practice for some time, maybe like few days, try to cover mindful walking, mindful sitting. That way you continue your practice and write this written report. So when a written report is recommended, when an interview is recommended, most people, they find in the meditation, it's difficult for them to meditate. Why? In your own mind, you are planning report writing. In your own mind, you are planning the interview. okay, this is how I should report this. This is what I experienced. So you can see these mental components are working in your mind. Even under this name of meditation, it is working. It is writing reports in your mind. It is explaining these details in your mind. It is doing various suggestions in your mind. So these are the mental components. You have a direct experience, but you can't put that direct experience into words. That's the difficulty we are facing, right? Our direct experience, actual experience, we can't put it into words. So always there'll be some part added mentally. That added part, of course, when you listen to a meditation report, if you listen carefully, then you can notice what is the added part in this meditation report. What is the direct experience in this meditation report? You have to listen carefully, then you can see they are always adding on to the direct experience. They might feel something while meditating, but they are expressing it in some other way. They give different interpretations to these experiences, right? So that's what happens more. Even in meditation, you can see this mental component is working. It is there. It is always functioning. Probably like maybe like 2 weeks back, I went to this day retreat. One day retreat, they have started early in the morning and they spent the full day there meditating. So there was this person who is expressing his meditation experience with lot of complicated words. He was explaining his experience with, you know, many words from the practice, complicated words in the Tripitaka. So those things he was using, and he was explaining long meditation report. So I was listening from start to the end. I was listening, but I couldn't hear at least a single word of the direct experience. Instead, he was, you know, saying so many complicated words, right? Creating different ideas based on those complicated words, suggesting that he has advanced in the practice, suggesting maybe he's some kind of a person like stream entry, right? So this happens to the Buddhist, right? They don't understand the practice. They think that complicated words represent their advancement in the practice. They think if I can jumble some kind of a complicated word salad, then I'll be advanced in the practice. So that's what happens to most people. So after listening to this long meditation report, unfortunately, I had to tell him, no, not even a single word was there. No word explaining the direct experience. Instead, some kind of a totally imagined situation. This person is suggesting, this person is explaining. And it's funny that at the end of the report, he was praising himself, saying that I am a wise person. Right? My wisdom faculty is strong. That was also there in the report. So I had to tell him, that's not the wisdom that's talking. This is the foolishness. That's what talking. That's why you can't express even a single word of the direct experience. Right? So always mental component is there. And he is creating his own stories. And he is suggesting his own ideas. If I agree, then I get caught in that same mess, right? So this is what happens to most people. When you meditate, it's natural this mental component is there. It's natural that you can't explain, you can't put direct experience into words. That's fine. But at least try to put some idea about the direct experience. maybe like 50-50 would be fine. You'll be adding 50%, but at least say 50% of the direct experience. Read your report again and see what is the imagined part, what is the direct experience, right? So that's what matters in the practice. If you are one with the direct experience, then of course you are advanced in the practice of meditation. If you are adding on to the direct experience, so much you are adding, so far away you are from the practice, right? So that's why most people, they suffer. They are having difficulties. They are having difficulties facing this life. They are having difficulties dealing with other people. They are having difficulties managing their own thoughts, emotions. But they tell others that I am advanced meditator. I have been a monk for so many years. I have done meditation for so many years. But they can't handle their own emotions, thoughts. They can't handle their self. But they are suggesting that I am advanced in this practice. Even non-meditators, they'll get to know that there is some doubt. This person is saying he has meditated for so long, but that doesn't appear in his day-to-day life. That doesn't appear in the way he's working, right? Even today I was talking to somebody, right? Not a meditator, of course, right? And not a monk, not a Dhamma practitioner, nothing whatsoever. But that person was saying, one day when I deal with somebody, I can feel whether this person is a meditator, whether this person is closer to Nibbana or not. Based on that person's way of working, based on that person's, you know, ability to handle themselves. Otherwise, no matter whether it's a monk, no matter whether it's a yogi, I always have a doubt about this person. Is he a meditator? Is he a monk? Right? Most people think that being fake, wearing some fake mask, they'll be meditators. Wearing some fake identity, they'll be meditators. That's not how it is. Instead, you have to be real. Right, if you are real, no matter you are angry, no matter you have so many defilements, you are that same very person. That reality is much closer to meditation, right? That reality is much closer to Nibbana. Why? Because that's the direct experience. You are angry, you say you are angry. You are angry, people know that you are angry. While being angry in your mind, why should you put some different face, right? While being angry in your mind, why should you express metta, compassion to other people, right? So this is what most people are caught in, right? They don't know that they have to get rid of this mental identity, this mask. They have to get rid of it. They don't know it. Instead, they think that I have to be like a meditator. I had to walk slowly. I had to walk in this space, right? I had to express my words in a certain way. So they'll feel that I am a meditator. This is the drama most people are playing. So you can see, you can't, of course, advance in your practice. Why? Because you don't have that honesty about yourself, with yourself. If you don't have that honesty within, how can you advance in the practice? Right? So that very idea is very important. You are not adding on to your direct experience. Instead, you try to minimize this mental part. When you minimize that mental part, you can naturally work with the society. You can easily handle your emotions, thoughts. Why? Because, of course, these emotions, thoughts, if you are not adding on to them, they are very much manageable. If you have bodily pains, aches, sicknesses, if you are not adding on to them, they are very much manageable, right? This mental component is the difficulty. This suffering part is the difficulty. So when you continue your practice, when you mature in your practice, it is natural that this suffering part is reducing. I'm not saying that the direct experience will change. That's not possible, right? We have to maintain this body. As long as we are living, there will be friction in it, right? That is natural. As long as you are living, there will be thoughts, emotions you are experiencing. That is natural. You can't get rid of these things. That's not the idea of meditation, right? So you will be experiencing these things. But what happens is that you are not adding on to it. That mental component is the difference. So in a way, we become more and more fearless observing ourselves, right? No matter how what your reaction is, always there will be fear, right? You see the people who are angry all the time, right? Do you think that's a strength? Do you think that that's fearlessness? No, they are really fearful. That's why they're angry all the time, right? Even the monkeys will teach you that lesson, right? The monkeys that we meet here in this monastery, usually the most aggressive ones are the most fearful, right? Most aggressive monkeys are the most fearful, right? So that aggression is a sign of fear. They have fear within, so they want to somehow put aggression towards other people, put aggression towards situations, and try to win. That's what they are doing, right? So when you meditate, you become better at dealing with your own thoughts, emotions. Of course, you will be experiencing them. Of course, there will be sickness, there will be pain, there will be friction in your body. Those things won't vanish. But what happens is that you are reducing, you are minimizing this mental component. That change will make this life much more bearable. That change will make this life much more simple and manageable. Right? So that change is very important. Currently also, this situation is not that bad. But what happens is that we are suffering in our own imagination. That's what happens, right? So when you meditate, you can see that the direct experience is not changing. There'll be same sicknesses in your body. There'll be same thoughts, emotions that you are experiencing. But you become much better dealing with them. You become much better handling them. Right, so that's the ability you are developing. So it's a simple check to see whether somebody has meditated. How to check? Just see how they are handling their own thoughts, emotions. Just see whether you feel a good vibration or a bad vibration dealing with somebody. Maybe not just one occasion, but when you repetitively deal with that person, you can see whether that's a negativity that's there, or whether it's a good vibration that you get, right? That'll tell a lot about their practice. That'll tell a lot about their meditation. Otherwise, people are just, you know, acting like they are meditating, acting like they have advanced in their practice. But truly, when you deal with them, you feel that they haven't even started their practice. They don't even know how to handle simple thoughts, emotions. Okay, so that way, you have to make sure that you are developing this ability. You are strengthening your ability to observe self. You are not suppressing it. You are not avoiding it. Instead, you develop this ability. The experience, the direct experience will always be the same, but that mental component will change, that change will have a huge impact, right? So that's what we are after. Even meditating for so many years, you'll be feeling same feelings in your body. You'll be having same type of thoughts, emotions in your mind. But still, now you are wise. Why? Because you know how to deal with them. You know how to handle them, right? Now, even in this, in monkhood, when somebody wants to become a monk, they initially get the samanera ordination, right? We call them novice. So the idea of that word is novice. Novice, right? That's the label given. That's the name given. So they are beginners. They start their practice, you know, they try gradually, they develop their practice. So Buddha's suggestion is to spend at least like 5 vassa practicing. You get high ordination, you get at least like with the same teacher, with the same place, with the same practice. Buddha suggesting like 5 vassa at least try and spend. When you spend that type of time, then of course you should become better dealing, handling your thoughts, emotion. If you are a meditator, you should become better. If your practice is correct, then you should become better. Then he says, after 5, there won't be any dependency. Now this person, now this monk, now this yogi is able to handle themselves much better. Now they can handle themselves. They know what to do in a difficult situation. They know how to deal with their own thoughts, emotions. They know how to deal with the society. They know how to talk to somebody else, right? So this ability, this very ability, it will come if you keep on practicing. That's the very idea. So you don't think that it will come within few weeks, within few months. But instead, you have to keep on practicing. But when you practice for few weeks, few months, you'll see signs of it. You'll see that you are becoming better dealing with other people. You'll see that you are becoming better handling your own thoughts, emotion. That progress you will see, but it takes time to have a real change. It takes time to have a real impact. That's natural, because this is a difficult process. But we are not giving up. Somehow, little by little, we are progressing and we become more and more fearless observing ourselves. We become more and more fearless dealing with other people. Some people, they say that there are difficult people. Of course, we are dealing with difficult people, difficult mentalities. That's natural. But why is it become so difficult? It becomes so difficult because of the friction within. So the root of this problem is within. That's why it becomes so difficult. Otherwise, if your practice is good, if you know how to deal with your own thoughts, emotions, if you know, if you have this ability, if you are wise instead of no wise, then, of course, you know how to deal with it. Other people might feel friction with these people, but you won't feel it. You won't feel it because you know you are better dealing with your own thoughts, emotion. That ability will improve. That ability will let you deal with the outside people much better. Right? So that's the very idea. Now, there was this yogi who was spending time here, maybe like, I don't know, maybe like 4 or 5 months he was here. And he came and he was complaining about somebody, saying that this person is creating trouble. This person won't let me meditate. This person is doing blah, 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 so many things he was saying. But I asked him, is it truly that person who is creating all this suffering, all this difficulty, all these troubles? Isn't it you? Isn't it something within? Right? Because we also dealt with that same person. Of course, he'll be a difficult person. Right? He'll be a difficult person. But that friction will increase because of your own inner difficulty. The root is always within. That's where the real problem is. That's how the friction is created. Otherwise, if you don't have that friction within, then no matter what the outside people are, it doesn't matter what they do, right? If you have the ability to deal with your own thoughts, emotion, then it doesn't concern the outside. Right, so that's the very ability that today's world is in need. That's the lacking ability. Most people, they are recommending changing the outside, but they don't have the ability to observe themselves. They are fearful observing themselves, but they want to change other people. They want to change other people. Some are coming and they are saying, you know, we should advise these people, we should advise these young people, we should correct their course. So those ideas are given, but is it the correct way? No amount of advice will change a difference, will make a difference if you don't have a true practice within. Right, so that's what happens to most of the parents. That's what the friction is created with the children. Right, because parents are always advising the children, but they can't remember their own history. Right, they can't remember how they got there. If the parents can remember their own history, then it is easy to understand the children's way of thinking. It is easy to understand how the teenagers are thinking, how they are behaving, right? So that very ability is important. If you want to change the world, start within. Be fearful observing oneself. Be fearful observing yourself. Deal with your thoughts, emotions much better. That is where the change will start. That is where the change will start. If you do that, that very vibration will change the society. It will be a silent sermon. Maybe not a one expressed in words, but instead you, others also, they feel some kind of a vibration, a good vibration dealing with this person. Although they might not know, others also may call you a meditator. Why? Because they feel this good vibration. They feel that this person is behaving in a different way. There are things to get angry, but he doesn't get angry. There are things to become worried, but this person doesn't become worried. There are things to, you know, be agitated, things to panic. But this person doesn't panic. That very practice is a silent sermon. That is how you can teach people. That's the proper way of teaching people. Preach this silent sermon, right? That your very presence will make an impact. Your very presence will be a teaching. Because you are fearless observing yourself. You know your thoughts, emotions. You know how to deal with them. It doesn't matter what the other person is having. It doesn't matter because you know your inside. You have practiced within. The outside, it doesn't concern you. The situation, it doesn't concern you. The troubles, it doesn't concern you because you have practiced waiting. You can deal with other people fearlessly. Why? Because you have made a change within. If you have fear within, of course there'll be fear outside. If you have lust within, then of course there'll be lust outside. If you have jealousy within, of course there'll be jealousy outside. If you have fear within, of course there'll be fear outside. Right? That's the way the universe works. I saw this very nice video some time back. It was those Spanish bullfighting, right? Somebody or some person, usually when the bulls are coming, they are running or they are, you know, trying to hit the bulls with something, hurt them. That's the usual behavior. But there was this person sitting near the sidewalk and he was exposed to the street. This huge bull came towards him, stopped near him, and this bull was reading this person. This person doesn't move, doesn't express anger, doesn't express fear. Right? And so this person is, you know, emotionless, just sitting there. So the bull waited for a few seconds, right? Wondering whether to attack or not. Something was there, wondering. Then it went away, right? Even the animals can feel it. If they can read the fear, they'll attack. If they can feel the anger, they'll attack. That's how it is. So if you have fear within, of course, you'll have fear outside. If you have anger within, of course, you'll have anger outside. Right? So that's how the change will happen. That's how you can change the world. That's how you can influence others. Right? That is the correct place to start. So that's the idea I want to give today. Thank you for listening and try with your own practice. And you can experience this much better when you do practice.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much best to Bhante. Next, we have the question and answer session coming up, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence the session. I will share the screen for the beginner's introduction.
Thank you, Namantha. Avasarai Bhante. I will go through the beginner's guide quickly for anyone who wants to start or a refresher for meditation again. So there are two videos that Nisaranamania has introduced to us, one about mindful walking and the other one about mindful sitting. These two videos will give you an introduction into what it's like to meditate. You can watch that. And then the most important, as Bhante said today, was to set aside some time to start your own practice. And you can start this with any amount of time, but as Mante said, eventually build it up to once a day to for an hour a day. Mindful walking and mindful sitting is just as important as each other. And on top of it, if you could be mindful doing a repetitive task on every day, that would be very good to see your reflection on that task as well. Once you have experienced it for yourself, we would like to hear from you. Put that in a report and send it to us via the Google form. The link will be put on the chat today. And the email, which is beginnersnv@gmail.com. We will check both of them to see if there are any reports and present it to Bhante for his feedback. And so for today, we have not received any reports on the Google form or via the email. Namanth, will you be sharing the Google form and the email links and all these details that we discussed today on the chat? Yeah. So we don't have any reports, but we can start our questions. If anyone has any questions, You can send it to us on the chat. I could present it to Bante, or you could raise your Zoom hand and I will let you unmute and ask your questions. I can't see any hands raised. Oh, there is one hand raised. Samantha, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Sorry, yeah, I couldn't unmute earlier on. Thank you, Sonali. Thank you, Bante, for taking my question. And that was an interesting topic because it really helped me as well deal with fear and emotions. I mean, in fact, as we just speak now, I just heard my father's in hospital and he's been tested COVID positive, and so there is anxiety in me. So I'm just sort of like trying to sort of see how I'm going to deal with it. So usually if I'm mindful, I might just sort of like, without thinking, just overreact and let the better of my emotions get me and just go along with it. But however, now, once I've been mindful, all sorts of things are going in my mind now. How I'm going to have to accept this. Now I'm trying to put my Dhamma knowledge and what I've learned, you know, from the sessions, accept it, and then, because there's nothing is out of my control, I'll have to do what I accept what it is, and see, ride along with my emotions, watching it, or then I'm thinking to myself, do I, you know, inject some of the Dhamma knowledge and say, this is life, I'm not in control, and brave it and face whatever the consequences, what's going to happen. And then see, everything is changing, and this anicca, and this is it, you know. So that's what Buddha had said, everything is sort of anicca, suffering, and there's not much that I can do. So would I inject wisdom to my situation to help me control, and if I'm in an angry situation, I think just bite my tongue and not react. So are those the sort of like thought process that I should be adopting in order to control my fear or any emotions that I have, Bante? And I know through meditation, as you know, as I progress, if I keep doing it daily, that, as Bante said, the importance of that, that will also help me in the long term, but until I get to those sort of stages. But yeah, I'm just wondering what Bante would advise. Thank you.
Now, Samantha, I have a question. Now, let's say if you don't inject anything, what would happen?
I would just experience whatever my feeling is within me. I would have to be, first of all, accept, not react, accept that, okay, I am upset, this is how I am. And then, but at the same time, I have to sort of like have a clear mind to sort of think how to deal with the situation and not let things get over me. And, yeah, and then panic, and then not do anything or do the wrong thing and react, maybe.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah.
That, you know, going along with it, that's the proper meditation. Otherwise, we think that we are always injecting something, right? We are injecting Dhamma wisdom or something like that. But actually, the true wisdom is already there. That very experience is the process of anicca. But instead of experiencing that, instead of becoming fearless, accepting that, we try to inject something. That very injecting is the nicca, right? That's why we are injecting, right? So you have to accept whatever the emotions are there. Maybe you are sad, maybe you are anxious. Be sad, be anxious, that's fine. Right, sometimes the emotions get the better of you. That's fine. Yes, that's natural. But you will recover from it soon enough. That's the very idea. That's the very idea. So that's how the practice will continue. Now, a few days back, there was this person who was telling, I'm this many years old, right? But in my heart, I am young. I feel like a young person. I think like a young person. Although I am old, I am young in my heart. Then I asked that person, when you were truly younger, maybe when you were in your teen years, did you feel this? Did you think to yourself that I am young? No, that thought wasn't there, right? Because you truly were young at that time. Now, when you are old only, you have to inject yourself saying that I am young, right? I am young, I act like a young person, I feel young in my heart, all these thoughts come. Because not, you are not truly young, right? So that's the same idea for this as well. If you truly accept the process, that is the very process of anicca. If you are not ready to accept it, then of course those injections would help, right? So that's why those things, we can't discard them, we can't reject them. They are there, but that's not the true practice. They can help you initially, but they can't help you forever, right? This very acceptance is important. When you accept it, then of course, sometimes you are sad. Sometimes you feel like crying. Let the tears out, cry, that's fine, right? You feel anxious. When these things come, you feel anxious. You feel fear, you feel anger. Accept those things. That's the very idea. When you start resisting them, then of course it creates suffering in your mind. That very resisting is the difficulty. So when you accept these emotions, when you accept the situation, It feels bad for a while, of course, true. But soon enough, you'll feel better. They will go away. This too shall pass. It may pass like a kidney stone, but it will pass, right? That's the very idea. We fear that pain. We fear that difficulty. So we try to create some kind of a shortcut, bypass this difficulty and go. No shortcuts are there in this world. They are a bit longer than the normal route, right? So that's the very idea of the practice, acceptance. You should feel anxious, having troubles at home. It's natural that you feel anxious. So why can't we accept that, right? Dealing with other people, it's natural that you fear. Why can't we accept that? That very process is the meditation. Let's say currently, clearly based on your statement, you are not ready to accept it. But what the idea of this very session, the idea of this very practice is make you stronger, right? You become more and more fearless accepting yourself, accepting these difficult situations, right? That's the very practice. Till you reach there, of course, you can use these injections, try and see whether they are helping. But me personally, I don't recommend them that much because it's not the true practice, right? They help initially. Making, you know, saying that this is anicca, this will change, this will pass. All these things, they are like, you know, some temporary measures, right? But truly, if you accept the situation, that is the very process of anicca. Now, yesterday or day before, somebody was suffering with an illness. So this person was saying that I can't get rid of this illness. I can't eat. Why is this not going away? Why can't I heal this illness? So he was questioning himself, right? Asking himself, saying it loud to himself. So I told him that you are trying to heal it. No, that's the issue. That's the very issue. Otherwise, just let the sickness be. The body is saying not to consume any solid food, so listen to it. That's why you can't eat. The body is saying not to consume food. Because if you consume food, then of course, the body can't fight this illness. You won't die if you miss a meal or two. Right? You, in this body, you have enough energy to survive maybe a month or so. Right? So just listen to the sickness. Don't try to heal it. Just be with it. Just accept. That is the very process of healing. The past is healing. Right? That's how it is. If you accept the illness, just let the illness do its thing. Then that is the very process of healing. We try to, you know, suppress it. We try to consume something. We try to eat. We try to get medicine. And then we are asking, why can't I heal myself? Right? That's the very issue. So you can develop that ability. That's the promise. That's the idea of the practice. So continue. When you continue, you'll become much better at it.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu. That was really helpful, Sadhu, Bhante. Thank you.
Thank you, Samantha. Thank you, Bhante. Next person, I think, is Chamari. Would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you, Sonali. Avasarai, Bhante. I think you answered partly my sharing that I'm going to do with Samantha's question. So it's about how much fear and therefore how much anger that would come up when with the attachment I have for the family. And I think that's what I learned in the last 2 weeks. What it did was stopping the flow and having the conflict, trying to change things, trying to convince people that they're actually, if they were all in a car and I'm outside, they're actually heading for a ditch. And it felt like I was trying to save them. It was all wrong because the fear, because of the attachment, and because of that, the anger that came up. I think what you said last week, that road to hell is paved with good intentions. Sorry. And I think all of my good intentions just widened the road to hell for everybody. So I had learned how much attachment I have for the family. And I was watching the train crash, but I was still trying to interfere with it because I couldn't just watch. I think you've answered some of it because not being able to accept what's happening, long way to go with my meditations, and also understood how little power I have to change others, and that all of the ability is within me to understand my own motivations. Wanting to do that. So, I'm truly a beginner. That's my sharing, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing. As I mentioned last week, sharing is the idea of this platform, right? So, of course, it feels terrible at the moment. Right, of course you feel terrible right now, this is a huge breakthrough, because now you know how the attachment works. Now you know how much you try. It is not that possible, right? You try to change others, you try to stop them, you try to protect them, but that's not how it works, right? So although it feels terrible right now, this is a huge breakthrough. Now you know, right? That's why we call this situation the tiny moment of Satori, right? Momentary enlightenment. You see for a moment how attached I am to this situation, how attached I am to these people, how difficult it is to change others, right? So, of course, you feel terrible now, but going forward, this will make a huge impact to your practice, right? So that's how we learn. We learn the hard way, right? That's how the practice will progress. So accept it. Just know how I know, how much I try, this is how it is, right? So that's the very idea. That's the very idea of the practice. Now, same type of experience somebody else was sharing a few weeks ago. That person done so many mindful activities, conducted so many sessions, satipasana sessions, even for children, right? But suddenly got an illness, extreme pain in body, in some parts of the body, and thought maybe some kind of a cancer, right? So that was the idea. For 3 or 4 weeks, they couldn't find the cause of this pain. So they were in agony trying to figure it out, extremely painful suffering, right? So after going through that episode, this person was saying that death is not easy. That's my first realization, right? Death is not easy, right? Then the second one is, although I know thousands of mindful activities, nothing works when you are in that extreme situation, right? That was the second insight. Then the third one was, although I thought I am not attached to these children, although I thought I am not that attached to the family, all along, they came to my mind. So I know that I had not got rid of the attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that extreme pain, extreme difficulty, for 3 weeks, she had to go through in order to understand those things. So in a way, we are learning the hard way, right? Of course, it is difficult. This attachment, we think it's not there. But when it comes to these type of situations, then only we know how strong the attachment is, right? So very same topic, we have this upcoming topic as well, Zen birthday card, right? Zen birthday card. And it's written on the birthday card, not thinking of you. That's the birthday card, right? So it is expressing the idea of detachment in relationships while acknowledging the recipient's birthday. If you can do it, if it is humanly possible, of course, right? So that's how you can really strengthen your relationships. Attachment is the number one killer of the relationships. We think that attachment will do. Attachments will help. That's our idea. But in relationships, if you are detached, then that's the true way of strengthening, right? You have to allow them space. Give them space. The most precious gift. Space to be, space to make mistakes, space to grow, right? With attachment, we can't do it. We think that we are doing good. We are trying to help them. We are trying to correct their course, but end up suffering even us as well as the other person, right? So this is a very interesting topic. We think that attachment will help in the relationships, but it is not. probably like some kind of a wise attachment might help. That means you have to advance in your practice. That's why that Zen birthday card says, Zen birthday card, not thinking of you. Right? Mm. Acknowledging the recipient's birthday while expressing the idea of detachment. That's the true way. That's how the unconditional love will appear. We can't do it if we are attached to that person. That's why most of the parents, that's what they get wrong. They think they are trying to do good. They think they are showing the correct path. But in that same process, only hatred will be generated. That's why the young generation, maybe the generation, what do you call them? The generation Alpha or something, the newest one, right? So they are hating their parents. They are hating their teachers. Why? This very reason. Right? So, of course, you feel terrible. We all can feel it. But this will be a breakthrough in your practice going forward, right? So that's how we learn. We learn in the hard way. So this is a great insight. Now you know at least the attachment is there. Now the medicine will work. Because you know, right? If you don't know, then you think that I have no attachment. I'm doing good, all good. That's what most people think. That's how most people behave. They don't know that they are attached. They don't know that this is harmful. So the medicine won't work. If you know, at least that's the starting point of the healing process or the betterment. Right? So that's the very idea. If you know, the medicine will work. If you don't know, still you are in this ignorance, blindness. Okay? So of course you feel terrible, but consider this. It will be a breakthrough going forward. It will be a great insight going forward. You have to go through such difficulties in order to understand the true nature of our mind. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much, Bhante. It really helped to hear that that explanation and the wise words. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you, Chamari, for the question. We've got one more question, one more raised hands from Panchani. Would you like to unmute and ask your question? I'm not sure if you're having trouble unmuting yourself. Would you like to maybe type in your question, or I'm not sure what's happening there, but we'll give another couple of seconds for her to maybe unmute. Maybe we will give a chance to Hema Mali and you can work on trying to figure out how to unmute maybe. Hema Mali, would you like to ask your question?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Bhante Avasarai. In regarding Chamari, when Chamari speaks, I also felt heaviness a little bit, but then I realized it, the heaviness is there. So I think in Chamari, she realized her insight. That's a good step for her. I just want to share that being understanding about her feelings is good. No, Bhante. Yes. I need advice from you, Bhante.
Right. So that's true. That was the very idea. Right. We have to go through these difficulties. Then only we'll understand the true nature of our mind. Of course, it feels terrible at the moment, but it'll be a breakthrough insight going forward, right? So if such troubles come to you, then that's an opportunity for you to advance in your meditation, right? So that's how we should wish people, you know, maybe some difficulty, maybe some sickness, maybe some trouble. If such things come, then you'll see the real nature of these things, right? So that's why in order to advance in the practice, you need to get burned. Not too much, not too little, right? Right, exactly the proper amount. If you get burned, then only you will advance in the practice. Otherwise, some people are there, they live luxurious lives, right? They have no intention of the practice. They don't want to spend time, right? Why? Because they are not blessed. They don't get that burn. They don't get that difficulty in their life. So they'll spend their entire life luxuriously. At the end of it, they'll fall, right? Similar to other people, they'll fall. And they'll be in extreme agony trying to figure out, how did this happen? How did I lose all my properties? How did I lose my children? How did I get into this type of situation? It will be too late for them. It will be too late for them. So that's why, in order to advance in the practice, you need to get burned. Get burned so much.
You can take this act as an opportunity to see, not the Bhante.
Yeah, definitely opportunity. Get burned. So you wake up screaming from your sleep, right? The sleep of ignorance. Right, you have to wake up screaming. That's how it is. You have to wake up screaming. You get burned so much that you wake up screaming. But that injury is not deadly, so you can survive and you can continue with your practice. Right. So that's the very idea of the practice. And when we even mindfully listen to somebody else, we feel their heaviness. It's natural that you feel it. If you are mindfully listening, then of course, even animals, if you mindfully watch them, just be there, witness them for a moment, then you feel they have emotions, they have thoughts, sometimes they are fearful, right? Now, a few weeks ago, I met this colorful lizard. By accident, we met, you know, a few feet ahead, it was looking at me, trying to figure out whether this is a threat. Should I run? Right? Circling its eyes, trying to figure out what will happen. Right? So I was just, you know, by accident, I noticed that this creature, that this beautiful lizard is there, trying to figure out what to do. Right? So they too feel fear. They too might have some kind of emotion. Right? So if you mindfully observe, you feel it, of course. That's why sometimes you are sad, sometimes you are happy, right? Don't try to get attached to the sadness or the happiness. This is life. If you are witnessing life, you might feel sad at times. And it says it's good to feel sad every now and then. That is human, that is human experience, right? So thank you for feeling sad, and we hope that some trouble will come to you as well.
Bhante, sharing is very good, Bhante. Yeah, thank you.
Sharing is very good. Anybody wish like this, right?
Teruvan saranai, Sarana. So thank
maybe
you.
Maybe some sickness, maybe some trouble may it come to you. That type of wish, the worldly people, they don't accept. The world might oppose. They might say, this monk is very bad, wishing people troubles.
Thank you. Thank you, Bhante. Thank you. Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you, Hemamali. Thank you, Bhante. We've got one more hand. It's Nikmi. I think Panchan is asking the question through Nikmi. Unmute and ask your questions.
Teruvan Saranai. Sorry, Sonali. I couldn't unmute. Something wrong with my phone. Avsarai, Bhante. I also find myself in a very unique situation. My husband left yesterday for a long-term meditation in the hope of going into robes. So I also have this unique situation now to observe my own mind. And luckily, I tried writing to you, but then I thought, you know, I didn't have the right motivation to write. So I luckily there was my Kalyanamitta, Miss Saranavanya. She gave me some advice and said, I wanted to go away because I couldn't deal with the emotions. But she said, no, until the last moment, stay and watch your mind. So actually I did that experiment. So thought I should share. At time to time, it went into anger. Why is he leaving? There's duties, there's responsibilities. But then, thanks to the practice, I was always able to direct it back. And like you said, the unconditional love, you know, if I really love, then I would let go. So that came into action, and I was able to let go a lot. Towards the last moment, I cried. But this morning, I'm peaceful again. So I know there is something in the practice that is definitely working. My suffering is losing power a lot. But obviously, that hidden desire for him to come back is also there. Although I know that that's only going to create more suffering for me, but that sensations come and go. But I know these are just a mix of signals, and I'm creating my own suffering. The understanding is fully there. But then I also want to mention, we all attended, some of the people in the group also attended the Ajahn Brahmavansa's retreat last weekend. And Brahmavansa Thera was mentioning that living in the adult lay life is a little bit like drying a wet stick. So those kind of thoughts are now coming. I'm living in the house by myself. I'm still earning money, but there is actually no need anymore. So those thoughts are now arising whether I should leave. So I just wanted some advice, Pante.
Okay, right. So you do get the opportunity to see your own attachment, right? Of course, you are at home. Of course, you are still learning. Of course, you are still in a lay house. But try to see how your mind is creating attachment, how your mind is suffering out of this situation, right? So that's the very experiment when somebody goes to become a monk. That's the very experiment they go through, that experience they have to go through, right? So you are fortunate, you are at home, still you can feel it. Still you can feel it. If you are a meditator, then it will help to progress. It will help to reduce suffering in your mind. If you are not a meditator, of course you will cry. Of course you will tell him to stay. Of course you will try to somehow, hold him. That's the very idea. That's how most people react. But you are a meditator. So you can see how this unconditional love appears when you let go. It is not easy. I'm not saying it is easy. But we think that attachment is love. But truly, if you let go, then that is the true way. That is the, you are giving space to the other person, right, to do what he is willing. Right? So that very, very experience you have to do, that's the very process. That's the very process. Although you are at home, you are experiencing the same detachment from the family. You are experiencing the same process that goes through when somebody becomes a monk. This is the very process. Right? So wish him good luck, and you can practice at home. But I'm suggesting stay there till the emotions settle, right? Till probably like that very first, the first wave, like in tsunamis, like they come in different waves, no? The first cycle is done. The first wave is done. But you have to stay there till probably like till 100 waves are done. This will come again. The second wave will come, maybe with some trigger. In next few weeks, it will come, right? So it will be lower in intensity. Then a third wave will come, fourth wave will come. So most people, they decide in these difficult situations, right? They try to come into a conclusion. They try to leave home. They try to decide something. What I suggest is that don't decide now. Let the wave settle, right? Do it repetitively. Don't change your current situation. Do it repetitively till there is no decision. Right? So that's how the decisions will make. The nature will tell you what to do. You don't have to think and decide. Now it is emotional. Now it is emotional. When you are emotional, it's not the right decision, right? What you have to do is that you have to let the emotion settle. Let's say somebody is in a bad relationship, right? So they are saying that I want to leave this relationship. I should decide, I'm angry, I'm mad at this person, right? So is that the time to decide? No, right? You have to stay there till such, probably like such 100 waves, 100 cycles will come and go. One day, without even thinking that you know that this relationship won't work. You know that this marriage won't work, right? So that's the true way of decision. We are in a rush. We want to make things fast. We are deciding once we are emotional. That's not the right decision. So when you allow this process to continue for a few months, maybe a year or so, then only you'll realize, okay, this is the right decision for me. And by that time, you won't have any thinking there. You don't have to think, right? You know, you just know, like we say, gut feeling. You know what to do, right? So till that, it's going to be a healing process. You become emotional, that cycle goes. Then the second wave hits you, third wave, fourth wave. They are reducing in intensity. That I can promise, right? So even when I tried to become a monk so many years ago, when I came here, I could feel this extreme pain, extreme difficulty, thinking about the home, thinking about family, thinking about what I left, right? So this process was there in my mind. Every morning when I wake up, this extreme, some kind of a fear, melancholy type of a feeling, that's where my mind goes. That's where it holds, right? So the sleep is peaceful. As soon as you wake up, your mind is like, grab it. You grab onto this melancholy, like fear, sadness kind of a feeling. That continued for like few months probably, right? Then only I realized, okay, now I can survive much better. Now I don't feel that bad after 2-3 months, right? Then after 6 months, 6 or so months, I realize now I can be good. Now it's not that bad. 3 months was really terrible. Now I can survive. After 1 year, I realize, of course, now it's better. 6 months ago, it was bad, right? So you can see it's a comparison. It is always progressing, not in short term, but in long term, right? So that's the process. That's the very process of detachment. That's the very process of meditation. Most people, they need quick results. They say, I have come here for 5-day retreat and I'll leave this place stream entry. So we say, good luck, meditate and see, right? What else to say? Right? That's not how it works. You have to gradually uplift yourself. It's a gradual process. It's a gradual process, right? So you see, 3 months. First 3 months was terrible. Second 3 months, not that bad, right? The third 3 months, much better. 1 year, okay, now I feel much more freer, much more calm in my mind. So that very process. Now, even when I think about it now, even after 1 year, I was suffering a lot. But I felt relief. Because compared to the very first starting point, I felt some relief. There was some space, right? So it's an ongoing process. Ongoing process. So consider this opportunity as an opportunity to become a nun. You are at home, right? Still, you are going through the same process. You are going through the same process. And there won't be any process left if you continue this meditation. If you take it as a challenge, if you take it as this detachment process, detaching, right? We are detaching. And I remember even my mother, she didn't cry that much when I left home, right? And after 6 months, she was crying like nothing. So I asked her, why are you crying now? She told me that I didn't think that you would stay. That was the idea, right? You can see slide, right? She let me go, knowing that I won't stay. Right? So try and see. Try and see. That's the process. It's an opportunity for you to detach from your attachment.
Thank you, Bhatte. That helps a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you to everyone who has asked questions from us today, from Bhante today. It helped all of us to reflect back on our attachments as well. Thank you, Bhante, for your wise words. And we are over time now, so I will hand over to Namamta to end the session.
Thank you very much, Sonali, and much thanks to you, and also much thanks to Bhante for a very insightful and meaningful question and answer session. So with that, our program, the session comes to an end for today. I would like to associate Merits with Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for joining us, and as you have witnessed, providing us with the depth and insightful guidance on how to apply mindfulness during when critical events take place in one's life, as we just heard in this question and answer session. So I would also like to wish that these merits will have a positive impact on Bhante's own progression in mindfulness journey, and that Bhante will be able to participate in our program into the future. Furthermore, I would like to associate and share merits with the most venerable Bhante Udayiragama Dhammajiva Mahatheru, who has been instrumental in requesting this program to be actualized in this manner, and you are all seeing the benefits of this. So I wish Chief Bhante long health and good life, and wish that his own objectives will be realized in the path of Dhamma. Furthermore, I would like to thank and share merits, pass on merits to all the wonderful organizers of this program who are looking at and taking care of the program, sustaining the program. And I wish that these merits will have a positive impact on their own practices as well. Furthermore, I am most thankful to all of you who are joining the session in live through Zoom or participating attentively through the Facebook live stream. I would like to share all these merits with all of you and wish that your own practices will flourish into the future by the power of these merits, and that you will be able to apply these principles in life and get through all the difficult situations with grace and comfort. Now, I would like to announce that the session will continue as usual next Saturday at the same time. That will be Sri Lankan time of 1 p.m. For the start of the session. Then, I would like to also wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead, and we will end the Zoom session now. Thank you.